You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the meeting grounds for spirituality and society, religion and culture.
Pauline Rooney, bringing you Expanding Horizons. Today I'm having a conversation with Maureen Caloran and Peter Hyatt about Epiphany. Maureen is a Unitarian minister currently visiting us here in Adelaide from North Carolina. I expect she knows far more than I ever could about such matters, and Peter, Maureen's partner, is a writer and used to thinking deeply about such philosophical matters. I began my research in the usual way, a Google search. There I found three basic definitions of Epiphany. First one was a church festival on January the 6th to commemorate the arrival of the Magi at the manifestation of Christ. The second definition was an appearance or manifestation of a divine being. I guess that's an angel. Or the third one was an usually sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. An intuitive grasp of reality through something, usually an event, usually something simple or striking, an illuminating discovery. I really liked the third definition best, and so I continued my Google search. And there were 5,850,000 entries covering many churches, school sites, some libraries, a lighting company, a marketing and sales and training company, a restaurant, a diet, even New York's truly exquisite and sophisticated escort service. Maureen, there seems to be quite a discrepancy between that definition of Epiphany and the services listed above. What's your understanding?
Pauline, as I listen to you with those definitions, it strikes me that the first two are trying to put Epiphany in a box to limit them to things that we think we understand, a specific manifestation of Christ, the manifestation of a divine being. But when you go back to the Greek, you find that the word Epiphany comes from the Greek epiphaneia. And the whole point of that word is that it's a manifestation or a striking appearance of, we don't know what until it happens. That is the whole point of an epiphany. We don't already know. We don't already understand. You have the Magi. They go hunting. They're following a star. And they find something. But they don't know what it is. They found a baby in a feed box. You have Paul. He was on the road to Damascus, and he was confronted with a blinding light. And it changed his world forever, and indeed it changed history. And Paul thought what he saw was the risen Christ. And out of that he shaped a religion, but it was his interpretation of this unknown thing. And then, of course, we've got the New York escort service et al. That co-opting of Epiphany began as far back as the 1840s. The secularization, taking it and saying, okay, we have an epiphany for you. Today it's try us and you'll never be quite the same again. And I say to you that that's the same old thing, Pauline. It's trying to put epiphany in a box.
Well, Peter, what's your sense of the modern day epiphany if it isn't the escort agency?
You know, I think that in everyday life we have our experiences and we wrestle with understanding and we wrestle with things that we don't know, and then suddenly out of nowhere comes a sudden understanding of something. I would call that an epiphany.
I relate to epiphany in the sense that I compare the mind shift of an epiphany to the physical experience of learning to ride a two-wheeler bike. At first you can't seem to balance at all, and then suddenly you can. In a moment, things have changed, never to be the same again. Epiphany seems to do that emotionally and spiritually. Have you ever experienced that, Peter?
Yes. In qualifying this story, I would remind the listener that I am a Unitarian. The name comes from the ancient debate within Christianity between those who felt that God was a unity, that is, one God, as opposed to those who felt that the one God came in three forms, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. The story I want to relate is one I had about, 10 years ago. I was sitting around a circle with about 20 other people talking about peace issues, nothing at all to do with religion, when suddenly, for no reason that I know of, the realization came to me, fully understood at that moment, exactly what the great Christian theologians were getting at with their concept of the Trinity. There is a God, the Father, the universal God. And there is God the Son, that is Jesus, a personal God, the God we human beings can relate to, feel love for, and who answers our prayers, etc. And God the Holy Spirit, the God of the unknown mystery, the spirit of that which visits at quiet times. It was at that moment that I understood that it was not theology that I was interested in. That was the human response we call religion that interests me. How is it that we love God into existence, and what is the nature of that love and of that God? It is important, at least it's important for me to understand here, that I could, like so many do, have rejected the whole idea. It flew in the face of my belief system. But instead, I allowed it to inform my belief system. It informed my understanding of our human response to the need for religion and to how to reach the beyond in the midst of our life. This epiphany could have changed my life, and it did, and I allowed it to do that.
I think, Peter, what you've named there speaks to my understanding of the importance of epiphanies, how important it is that we are open to them, open to letting ourselves be changed. The story that comes to my mind is, it goes back a ways too, what I think of as my calling to ministry. I was at a summer camp with a group of people. We had been through a very intense leadership training experience, and we were engaged in a collective worship experience that had been designed by one subgroup of our colleagues. At the end of the ceremony, we each received a small folded origami peace crane, and we walked through a narrow exit by ourselves as the group was singing, "I'm on my way and I won't look back." And for me, at that moment, I felt something. I'm very careful not to give it a specific word. Something come to me from outside, enfold me, embrace me. I was crying. I was walking. Well, it felt to me like I wasn't walking on the earth. And I had a deep sense that whatever lay ahead, I was called to the path of ministry. And for me, that moment was an epiphany. Very, very occasionally, as I've written, those many sermons over the years, very occasionally, I have had a similar experience of the words coming through me rather than laboring them out of my brain, as anyone who's written regularly will recognize as an experience. The words coming through me onto the keyboard, onto the screen, then onto the paper, and coming out in just the way they need to be formed for people to hear them and perhaps in their lives to be changed. And when that experience of sermonizing happens, when it happens that way, again, I feel that sense of joy. I'm moved to tears. It's a connection with something that is beyond me. And Peter, you mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian's term of the divine as the beyond in the midst of our lives. And I think that that is some of what is happening with an epiphany, a reminder in a very visceral way that these moments of connection are possible. They will happen, that in our very essence, we are more than the mundane.
I've had two times in my life that exactly forever changed the way I think and feel about my whole existence on this planet. And the first was being present for and observing the birth of our first grandchild. the absolute sense of wonder that this new life had just begun, the miracle of birth, and the essential of potential that was encapsulated in a tiny, tiny, frail body that was hardly ever born because it was a 28-hour labour, and just the fact that he was born and he was alive gave me such a sense of expanded awareness that wasn't there for me when my own children were born. I was far too busy in the now to get the sense of it. And I was so afraid I wouldn't look after them properly. My heart and mind were not open to the wonder of it all.
Mm-hmm. I think you're saying something very important there, Pauline. How can we let these moments of wonder slip by? How can we just treat them as just an aspect of the everyday? Remember that an epiphany is something unexpected. It's an experience of the beyond in the midst of your life. And as you were in that moment of birth, you have to be open to the possibility.
Absolutely. And the next moment of epiphany for me that also was life-changing came shortly after the birth experience, as I spent time being with my mother-in-law while she was dying. It was the first time I'd ever been in the presence of death. I didn't know what to expect and I felt quite afraid. The process, when it came, seemed so natural. And death came as a gentle friend to somebody old and tired, in the form of a comforting release. I understand that death is not always the same process, but for me, having been present there, it forever changed my thoughts on death and dying, and life seemed far more integrated from then on. And you must have shared similar times during your ministry, Maureen.
Absolutely, Pauline. Companioning people in their dying has been one of my life's greatest blessings. It hasn't always been an easy passing. It hasn't always been one that you can say, yes, this time is right. But that moment, that transition from life, however labored, life to not life, that it's a holy moment. And yes, it is a blessing to be present. Peter, it makes me think of your experience with your friend Barbara.
Yeah, this was really an experience that went the other way from death. Barbara had pancreatitis, and all of the medical people and the people with experience in these kinds of things were shaking their heads and saying that this woman was on her last legs, that she was really getting ready to die. And I visited her several times. She was a very close friend of mine. And it occurred to me that she wasn't dying at all, and that she was very ill, and much of the time she was unconscious and so on, but that there was a life force in her that became very evident to me that other people didn't seem to be able to see. They were working on the basis of their science, on the basis of their experience, and I was just simply looking at this very ill woman and saying, no, she's not dying. She's just ill right now, and she will be better. Actually, she did die about 18 years after this event.
They were right, eventually.
Right.
And that's our episode of Expanding Horizons for the week. The introduction is a piece named Elements by the artist CDK. The piece is licensed under Creative Commons and can be found from a link on our media website. And be sure to visit our media website, unitariansa.wordpress.com. This is White Rabbit, out.